Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
So Jesus is saying, look, this is what the Father wants, the one you claim to worship. He said to do this. You're not opposing just a mere human, you're opposing God. So Jesus tells them, what the Father wills in heaven, that's what I'm cooperating with. Then Jesus adds to that. He says, in fact, speaking of this little miracle here, you haven't seen anything yet. Just as the Father raises the dead or gives life to whoever He wants, I'm going to do that. The Son has that authority also. And this is all too much for them. They really want to get rid of this Jesus.
When you read the Bible and see the stories of the miracles Jesus did, what goes through your mind? Do you think those were really cool? It's too bad stuff like that doesn't happen today? Or do you just think of them as historical events and nothing else? Well, Pastor Troy's teaching today will dive into Jesus' motivation for doing the things He did. He'll even be looking at Jesus' reasoning for the timing in particular, doing a lot of His miracles on the Sabbath. You'll find out how it relates to your life. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
He's constantly pouring out love and mercy, even on the Sabbath, even on Saturday, even on Sunday. He's still there. When you pray, it's not like you get, oh man, he turns his phone off on the Sabbath, man. Can't get a hold of God. No, He's always there. So God doesn't take a Sabbath, and that's Jesus' point. Look, when it comes to the work of God, He is working continually, and so am I. Do you recognize a resemblance? Here's the point. Even when you're resting, because God commands that we do, when you stop working, when you stop trying to get ahead and get everything done and do all that you feel you need to do, when you rest, because God says you need it, you can trust that God is still working. That everything God wants you to have, He's got it. You don't have to keep trying to get it all together. You don't have to keep trying to make it happen. You put things in His hands. And when He leads you beside a time of rest, when it's time to come to church or go to bed early or whatever it is, you can do it. Because God says, I've got it. Would you just leave it alone? Psalm 121 verses 1 through 4 says this, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't even sleep. We need to be recharged with sleep, rest. We also need time to set aside. It's time devoted for the Lord. It's time you need to give to Him as an offering. But I can't get stuff done. Well, and that means you trust Him. I can't get it done, but I trust the one who can. And maybe in that time, He'll show me, you're spinning your wheels. I don't want you to get this done. This is all you. I want you actually spending your time on something else. Your family's being neglected, or this is happening. God speaks to our hearts. Now, since this is true, that while we rest, God still works, why don't we rest more and let Him work? Why don't we? I can tell you why. We don't trust. We don't let go of things. We hold on to them. The idea of resting is you let it go. The problem with letting it go is this. I don't know what God will do with it. I mean, I've been really trying to go this way, and if I let it go, He might actually leapfrog me over here or something. I won't go where I'm trying to go. That's why you don't rest. Because when we're in God's car, when He's driving, you can fall asleep when it's time to sleep. You can rest. You can relax. So Jesus claims equality with God by showing them, I work continually. Verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. Second way they're alike. They both perform wonders. Jesus has just healed a man who couldn't walk. That's a miracle. Jesus did that. And Jesus could kind of lean in on them and think, and who do the miracles remind you of? Not Uncle Jesse. Who do the miracles remind? Who do they? Well, it'd be your Father in heaven. The God who led you out of Egypt. The God who parted the seas. In fact, He says it this way. It's the Father's heart to do these things. And I am only doing what's in the Father's heart to do, even the stuff done on the Sabbath. So He's saying, look, you're getting on to me for the Sabbath, but I only do what the Father wants me to do. If the Father said, it's the Sabbath, rest, don't do any of this, then that's exactly what Jesus would have done. So Jesus is saying, look, this is what the Father wants, the one you claim to worship. He said to do this. You're not opposing just a mere human. You're opposing God. So Jesus tells them, what the Father wills in heaven, that's what I'm cooperating with. Then Jesus adds to that. He says, in fact, speaking of this little miracle here, you haven't seen anything yet. Just as the Father raises the dead or gives life to whoever He wants, I'm going to do that. The Son has that authority also. And this is all too much for them. They really want to get rid of this Jesus. So what does that mean for us personally, though? Well, it means this. When you pray, not only is He there and on the job, but you're praying to the one who can meet any need you could ever bring up. He can do anything. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So no matter, you may think it, and isn't that weird that you think this is such a big problem, I have to control it. If it's that big a problem, let go of it. Say, God, you know I'm not just quitting. This is just beyond me. I can't do it. So I'm going to turn it over to You, and I'm just going to do what You want me to do. Mop the floor? Fine. I will mop the floor. Nothing like a no-brainer job. Because this other stuff is too much. God says, I've got it. He's got the answers. He said, a squirrel is still a squirrel. Sometimes the answer is a squirrel. But Jesus still has all the answers. And we're to go to Him for every need. But Jesus continues, verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Verse 23, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Third thing, equality with God. They both deserve worship. They both deserve honor. Like the judge, like the one who judges. So the Son should receive the same honor, is what Jesus is saying. I should receive the same honor as the Father. Now, can you as a human being, a mere human being, comfortably say that? I don't care what your calling is. I'm not going to stand up here and go, you know, guys, I'm a pastor. I deserve the same honor as God. I would never want to say that. That's blasphemous. So they're right. If Jesus is a mere human, that's blasphemy. But Jesus is saying, I'm not a mere human. my Father, the one I am of the same DNA as. I'm doing just like him. D.A. Carson said this in commenting on this passage. Such a statement belongs either to one who is God or else one who is insane. Then he says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So now he's really getting pointed with them and saying, you claim to honor and worship God. But he who does not honor the Son does not honor God. You cannot honor God without honoring the Son. There is only one way. Here, that's his point. The Jews thought they were honoring God while they were rejecting Jesus. But Jesus is saying, that can't happen. That can't be true. You cannot honor God while not listening to and rejecting Jesus. You must hear the Son. When Jesus calls to us, just like he did the disciples, he says, follow me. It is me that's talking. It is me that wants your life. It is me who has the plan for you. I know you've got your own plans, but I'm the one who created you. It's the Lord who speaks those things into our heart, lets us know that we have this need to follow him. And when we listen to him, when we put our trust in him, we honor him. But when we reject him, when we dismiss him, we cannot say, I love God, I honor God, while we're rejecting or not listening to the one he sent, the Son of God. We can't do it. We cannot listen to this prophet over here, prophet B, and say, well, I honor all of them. You can't. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You can't let Jesus say that and go, I honor all of them. You can't do it. Those who say that they love God and reject Jesus, they don't know God. They can't, because Jesus is the exact representation of God. He's the one who embodies who God is.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. That's what Hebrews means. The picture is, he's the exact impression, the exact embodiment of God. If God showed up physically on the earth, Jesus is that. Jesus does everything the Father says. Jesus is the embodiment of God. He's God in flesh. The Catholics will say, Mary, Mother of God. Mary is not the Mother of God. Mary is Mother of the flesh that God was able to clothe himself with. But Mary in heaven will not be the Mother of Jesus. She's not his authority figure as God. She was used by God here in a role. Just like I have the Word of God here. I can wield it any way I want. I can say anything I want. No, I can't. It still says what it says. God meant what he meant by it. So if I am someone who operates in truth, I'm not above the Word because I have a role. I submit myself to the Word if I'm going to be faithful. Mary had a role, a very important role. One that, yes, she should be esteemed among women, but she shouldn't be someone placed over God. You shouldn't be praying to her. She can answer none of our prayers. She's thankful herself to be used by God for one, and then to be in heaven eternally. But those who say they love God and reject Jesus or diminish Jesus or accept other prophets and saints and everything else, they don't know God. There was a Christian author, wrote some books, evangelistic nature. And there was this Jewish guy who really, he heard him speak a few times, really appreciated him, really admired him. And they were on a plane ride back to Israel together. And the Jewish guy said, "Hey, I really appreciate your work, man. You are just such a great author, speaker, everything." And the guy was said, "You know, when we get back, I'll send you a couple of my books." And the Jewish guy said, "Well, okay, that's fine. Just not the ones that are so Jesus heavy." The guy said, "That's all I write." All of my books point to Jesus. He said, "How can you say that you love what I'm about if you don't like the stuff that I'm writing? That's what I'm about. That's who I am. That's what's made me who I am." You see, in the same vein, God could say, if you don't respect my son, what he said, what he did, if you don't look to him and receive his claims, how can you say you honor me and respect me? You can't say it. It can't be true. So all judgment has been committed to the son. We're going to talk about why that might be. Why the Father has relinquished it and given it to the Son. But because it has been given to him, he's deserving of all honor, all worship, all glory. So let me ask you this. It's the obvious question. Is he in the place of honor in your life? If you're a Christian today, is he in the place of honor? I'll tell you how you can test that. Look at where you spend your time, your talent, and your treasure. See, these are three things that we have that we get to do with. I can spend wherever with my time. I can spend wherever with my talents, my abilities, skills, and with my treasure, my finances and resources and stuff like that. They're in my hand. I can do what I want with them, right? Have some choice in that. So what we discover in our freedom to do with those as we please, is where our heart is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. What I value, that's where my investment's going to be. I value that. So my time's going to be in that, and my resources are going to be in that. And so all that I have goes into it. That's worship. So look at your time. Look at your talent, your abilities, your skills. Look at your resources. Where are they going? Because that will tell you what it is you're after, what you're pursuing, where your heart is, and thus what you worship. And is Jesus in the place of honor in your life? He should be. He died for us. And we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." On the cross, Jesus was lifted up. Sometimes we don't realize when we sing, "Lifted up, Lord, you're lifted up." And the original meaning of lifted up was, from Jesus' perspective, "I am going to be lifted up." That means killed, hung on the cross, lifted up. So he died on the cross for us, but now we should lift him up. Not lift him up back on the cross, but lift him up in the place of honor in our life, where he is honored and worshiped, given praise. That's the right place for him in our life. Listening to him, honoring him. We can't honor the Father if we don't honor the Son. And we have reason to praise. Look at verse 24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." Yes. "And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Here's the final reason and way Jesus elevates himself to equality with God. They both determine your welfare, or they both determine your where you're going. So judgment has been given to Jesus, and he makes his judgment based upon what we do with the Word of God, not what we do with Encyclopedia Britannica. Well, Encyclopedia Britannica says Israel came to be a nation. Yeah, you can study all that stuff you want to. But what he holds us accountable for is what we hear in the Word of God when truth comes into the picture. Yeah, but that encyclopedia's got truth too. It does. But God's truth is what matters. God's truth is what gives us direction in life, not just information. We can all study information and sometimes be better for it. But information can sometimes just cause us to be less than desirable to be around. We become know-it-alls. You know, like, I used to know a guy. And no matter what you said, it didn't matter what you could go study some history book. It was history, not so much math and all that stuff, science, but history, anything in history. You bring up and, yeah, the baseball bat changed over the years, and you could have done a little tiny bit of homework, but he'll go, well, actually, it was the Flixer-Dixer thing, you know. And he knows. He knows about it, and the year, and the author, and the person, and what page on some book you could find. It's like, how do you know? It didn't matter. We used to quiz him. This guy knew everything about history and stuff. It didn't make me want to go hang out with him. He wasn't fun. Oh, he was a party gag. Watch what Sergeant so-and-so can do, man. Check this out. Hey, ask him anything, any year. Doesn't matter. What about this? And he's got the answers like, well, in 1974, and he goes through the whole history of it. It's like, how do you add this? It's just crazy. But again, like I said, I never received eternal life from him. I was never excited about following Christ because of him. Now, it made me want to maybe go read a few books, but it never, ever changed my life. But Jesus, his word changes your life. It invades your soul and says, what you're doing is not good. It's not right. I mean, it's not right. Who has the authority to tell me what's right? Well, God does. So, the Word. What we do with the Word matters. Scripture says that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And it says, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. But also the words of Jesus to us, the Word of God, the Scriptures that we read. What do we do with these things? This matters. The Scriptures. Why? Because they reveal the plan of God. What in the world is going on? And we can come up with all sorts of things. I mean, well, the earth is on the back of a turtle. And, you know, if you go into Greek mythology and stuff, and they're on the back of a turtle. And, you know, there's all kind of theories. But what God's Word says is the truth. What is going on in the world? Why are things happening? Why do I think the way that I do? Why do I feel convictions? Why are there people I don't get along with? All of these are answered in the Scriptures. They tell us. So the Scriptures reveal the plan of God. The Son, who is also the Word. The Son reveals the person of God. Who is he? What would he do? How would he react? How would he respond? What does he care about? In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said this, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So in other words, when Jesus says, here's my word, here's the truth, he doesn't sit there and argue. He said, I didn't come right now to judge. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So for those individuals who would say, I've got it figured out, my life's okay, I don't need anything, say, okay, cool.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
The light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way.